From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
A very good evening to you all. You're very welcome to our program. We'll be visiting County Fermanagh tonight in our extract from the History of the 59 Revival by Dr. Ian Paisley. There is a continued interest in the book, which we are offering free to any who contact us requesting a copy. I decided to extend the reading of this book into the month of March because of what has been happening in one of our churches, Port of Ogie, in County Down. I'm going to read to you part of an email I received from Dr. John Douglas of our congregation in Lisburn. He recently held a week of meetings in Port of Ogie, and he had this to say of his meetings. Dear Ivan, what a breath from God we have had this week in Port of Ogie. It has been a most unusual time. I did study notes for each meeting. On Sunday, the church was filled. One person had come to the Lord in the morning service under the preaching of the minister, the Reverend Gary Goods. A young man came to the Lord on Sunday night. He could not sing the closing hymn, such was his conviction. I have been preaching to Christians all week on the subject of counseling, and on Sunday began with the subject, How to Lead a Soul to Christ. When this young man went to the minister's room, Gary opened his Bible to take him through the teaching of the Scripture on salvation, only to hear him say, I have come through all that in the service. I just want to get saved. Another young man on Monday night came out for Christ, although I was preaching on counseling the young convert. I've been preaching for an hour to an hour and a quarter every time, yet unsaved people were coming along and listening intently. A young woman trusted Christ on the Tuesday night after the service in her own home. She is the girlfriend of the young man who got saved the night before. Another young woman asked the Lord to save her on Thursday night while sitting in the meeting, waiting for the service to start. Four altogether in this week of meetings. These are young people, around 19 or 20 years of age. Altogether, Gary has seen somewhere in the region of 14 converts in Port of Ogie this year. There is a breath of revival in the church. On Monday night, Gary chose the church hall to accommodate the people, and so many came, there was hardly a place for them to sit. This compelled them to go to the main church for the rest of the week of meetings. The building was comfortably full each night, and last night, Friday, it was jammed out with seats in the aisles, and some up round the front. May the Lord come now and spread that blessing everywhere else. May God indeed visit this land of ours, as he did in 1859. We will be continuing our study of Exodus, chapter 16, where we have one of the pictures of Christ in the Old Testament, that of the manna with which God fed his people in the wilderness. But first of all, let's have the reading from the History of the 59 Revival. As I say, it centres upon County Fermanagh. Here's that extract now. County Fermanagh did not have the same remarkable outpouring as the other counties already mentioned. An important factor in this is the low percentage of Presbyterians among the population. It would appear that the revival movement was generally approved among Presbyterians, but only approved in part by the clergy of the establishment. The ministers of the Methodist Church were zealous workers in the revival, and took an active part in advancing the movement in all parts of the province. It must be recorded, however, that their efforts in Fermanagh were largely unsuccessful. The Reverend John Crockett a Presbyterian in Tyrone witnesses, there is one thing connected with this movement that I have not seen noticed. It is this, and I say it in no sectarian spirit, that it appears to be very much confined to the localities in which Presbyterianism abounds. We are on the borders of Fermanagh, originally settled from England, where the principles of our polity are scarcely known, and other forms of Protestantism prevail. Now, every effort has been made by our Methodist brethren, who are very successful among us, to carry the work into Fermanagh, but hitherto to no purpose. I mention the fact because to me it appears somewhat strange. Nevertheless, the revival did in some measure come to the county. Dr. Weir tells of his visit to Enniskillen, the principal town of the county. The hour of noon is at hand as we approach Enniskillen. Entering it, we find all appearance of temporal prosperity. With my Tottenham friends, I make an excursion in a wherryboat up the beautiful Loch Erne to the island of Devonish, and visited the ruins of an ancient abbey church. We also found one of those round towers of other days, which have so puzzled and perplexed antiquarians, in perfect preservation there. We inquired of the boatman about the revival, and he stated that large meetings had been held in the town. Still, we perceived that we were getting a little beyond the boundaries of the great revival wave, and that as yet the people of County Fermanagh were not, as elsewhere in County Derry, stirred to the very depths of their hearts. Since the period of our visit to Enniskillen, a special revival meeting has been held in the pleasure ground surrounding the striking monument of General Cole. Of ministers of religion, there were present at this meeting one Episcopalian, two Presbyterians, and a number of Wesleyans. One of the latter gave a narrative of what he had witnessed in Derry, previously to which the Reverend Mr. Dill, Presbyterian minister of Dromore, addressed the people, about 1,000 in number, from Ezekiel 18, verse 32, "I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth." In his introductory remarks, he spoke as follows, "My dear friends, I have seen so much of the power of the Spirit of God within the last 2 months that I am willing to speak anywhere and everywhere that I may be called upon to speak a word for Christ. My own heart has been revived, and if I ever had a feeling of faith before, blessed be God, I have none now. If ever I had a doubt in my mind regarding the power of God's Spirit, I have none now. If ever I had a doubt on my mind regarding the willingness and love of the Lord Jesus Christ to save to the uttermost, I have none now. And if ever my heart was cold to Christ and his cause, there is no coldness now. But my feeling is that, like the apostles, I am willing to spend and be spent, yea, even to die for the Lord Jesus Christ." From this and other similar gatherings, fruit was reaped unto life everlasting. Let me turn with you now very quickly to Exodus chapter 16, and we'll take up again our study of the manna. So far, we have considered the origins of the manna. It fell from heaven, reminding us that the Lord Jesus came from glory to save sinners. We also considered the gathering of the manna. It had to be gathered in the morning, it had to be gathered daily, and there was to be no gathering on the Sabbath. And I sought to apply these various truths in the gospel. In verse 23 we are told, "And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. I want to talk about the preparation of the manna. You see, the manna, it could be milled and ground up like flour, it could be kneaded and baked or boiled. And what a reminder that is of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to meet the hunger of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ was crushed between the upper and nether millstones of God's wrath. And from the crushing of Christ at the cross, there comes forth that which will satisfy the longing of our soul. Christ, the bread of God, became food for our souls as a result of his sufferings on the cross. As the manna was taken and crushed and kneaded and then put in the oven and baked, so the Lord Jesus was crushed under God's judgment. So he was hung on the cross and there suffered the furnace of God's eternal wrath. And he thus accomplished redemption. And it's by feasting on the crucified Christ by faith that our souls are satisfied for all eternity. Let me come to the taste of the manna. We are told in verse 31 of chapter 16 about the taste. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Honey is suitable to all constitutions. There are very few people who cannot take honey. Many people take umbrage against certain foods, not because they can't digest it, not because really they don't like it, it's just a fashion. There was a time when we all dipped in the one bowl of sauce. They called it hunger. And mind you, that was a sauce that made everything that was put on the table more than welcome. Honey is one of those foods that is most pure, and it is suitable for all constitutions and tastes. Oh, how good it is to know that Jesus Christ is sweet to the palate of all who trust him. The young, they can partake of Christ even as the young can partake of honey. The sick, they can partake of Christ even as they can partake of honey. The old, the strong, it doesn't matter what your physical constitution may be, honey is acceptable. And it speaks to us of the suitability of the Lord Jesus to the needs of each and every one of us. Oh, my time has run out again. And I am just going to have to come back to this subject, for I do wish to speak more of Christ, the bread of life. So tune in again next week, in the morning, and again in the evening. Good night, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.